I've got a short meditation which Andrew's asked me to bring this evening. I found myself awake in the early hours of one morning, just a few mornings ago, maybe a week or more or so ago, and thinking of things which I never thought of before, which led me to this little meditation. It's funny, you pass through experiences in your life, and at the time you're in them and you don't pay too much attention to them in a sense, and then sometime later you maybe think one or two things about them and you think, oh well, that was the Lord's leading, that happened because the Lord arranged that, that was his will and purpose for me. And then I found something deeper than that. And it excited me and made me more appreciative of his will and purpose for me and his kindness to me. And so I want, in the view of that and in the like of that, I wanted to look at this passage which speaks of, and it's a very short passage, little bits which speak of the robber who was crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just think about that for a moment. This man, he'd gone to school in Israel as a Jewish boy growing up, and he probably learned the traditions of the Jewish culture and the Hebrew scriptures. And he probably had that great privilege of knowing that he was a descendant of Abraham, which they held so proudly, and was one of the children of God, of Jehovah. And he would have grown up knowing that the nation was awaiting a Messiah, a great deliverer. Of course, they understood it wrongly, but he'd have grown up knowing that there would be a Messiah. Now, he had fallen into seriously bad times, and really serious bad times. And he'd done very bad things. And he was at the point now of execution for his crimes. And a short way, a time away from death, a passing out of this life, and from any further opportunities that he might ever have for salvation. And I suppose, whilst humanly speaking, there was no hope for him. In the providence of God, in God's grace and mercy, hope was just a short time away, but he didn't know it. He didn't know it. He was on the cross, hanging there. This criminal was about to have a supernatural change in his understanding of himself, what he was really like inside, a rebel against God, a sinner who had broken God's holy law, ahead lay eternal punishment deserved for his sinful life, which he himself confessed to the other robber that they justly deserved. He was without God and without hope in the face of a terrible death. Furthermore, as he was on the cross, he heard and saw those scribes, those chief priests, those elders, and the people mocking and reviling this person who hung on the cross near him. He saved himself, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he's the King of Israel, let him come down now, and we may believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he wants him. He said he was the Son of God, words like that. And he himself said the same thing. And yet, for this robber, this was the best place he could ever have found himself in. Isn't that strange? This was the best place he could ever have found himself in his life. He was about to find himself face to face with the Son of God. What conditions had to apply and come together under God's hand for this man's life to save him? This was what I wondered about when I woke up in the early of the morning. And lovely things came to my mind as I thought about how something wonderful had happened in my life. The conditions, the circumstances, the coincidences, as the world would say, how they come and into your life by God's hand. Thinking about the robber, his arrest had to be at the right time. This meant the authorities had to apprehend him and arrest him in time to try him and sentence him in time to carry out the sentence at the right time. What does that mean? Well, had he been caught 2 months earlier, he might have been sentenced, arrested and sentenced, and already passed away on the cross. Maybe it might have been a sentence which meant he wouldn't hang on the cross and would be spend some time in prison. If he'd been apprehended and arrested a week after the crucifixion of our Lord and Saviour, then he would have missed that amazing time alongside Jesus. So this was so special. Everything, his apprehension, his arrest, his sentencing, and the carrying out of the sentence had to be precise. What a coincidence. Just being crucified the same time as Jesus. The crosses had to be fairly close together. He couldn't be crucified in another area, in another district. He had to be crucified alongside the Lord Jesus. They had to be able to see and hear each other from their crosses. The time was right in this man's life for him to stare death in the face and know he had no hope left. This was the appointed time for him to meet Jesus. We've all experienced that if we believe in Jesus. There was an appointed time for you to meet Jesus. There was an appointed time for you to meet someone else in your life. And if you give it a bit of consideration and some thought, you'd think, well, how did these things happen? How did this happen? How was that? What a coincidence that was. But if you know God as you are God, and the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, the Holy Spirit will convince you. No coincidences. These were arrangements made by God for you. And these are arrangements which were made for this robber. When were these arrangements made? Maybe a week before, perhaps? Maybe a month ago? Couldn't have been on the same day, surely. It was a bit rushed. Might it have been made in eternity? Might the God of glory, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, might he have arranged it in eternity? Yes. That's what Scripture tells us. Made in eternity, before time and creation was made. The Father knew those whom he was going to call to eternal life, to believe in his Son. The Father knew them. The Father knew you and me in eternity. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, I forget who I saw last week. But Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit knew me in eternity. He knew this robber, we don't know his name. God knew it. And this was the time, the appointed time, for this man to meet his Saviour. What was happening on to this man as he hung on the cross? We spoke about the supernatural happening within him. And he saw the Lord Jesus, and he saw what was going on. He saw the Lord Jesus allowing the soldiers to nail him to that cross. He wasn't giving any resistance. He wasn't shouting abuse and swearing at them. He just allowed them to nail him to the cross. He heard the mocking and the reviling of the scribes and the chief priests and the other people passing by. But he heard also the gracious words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Although he had taken part in the reviling of our Lord Jesus, now something was going on inside him. He heard the crowds. The other robber heard and saw much the same thing. The crowds heard what was said. But for this man, something spiritual within him was happening. He heard the crowds. He said it himself. This man said he was the King of the Jews. This man said he was the Son of God. And now these words, which all the others heard, he said them. Now these words are having an impact on him. All of a sudden, these words are beginning to ring true in his heart. He's beginning to think, and looking at the Lord Jesus, he's seeing something which many of the others, not his disciples, but many of the others are not seeing in this man, stripped, hanging on a cross, beaten, bloody, thorns on his head. He's seeing something different about him. What's going on? Why are these words having an impact on him? Why is he suddenly thinking? He said he's the Son of God. The sign above him says, "Jesus, King of the Jews." What's happening? Well, the same thing's happened to you. Same thing's happened to me. The Holy Spirit had now come to this man and was working in his heart, convincing him of the truth of the words he'd heard. Suddenly they weren't just words. They weren't revilings. They were truth. And he was beginning to see the truth and become totally convinced that this man, Jesus, was the Son of God. Isn't God gracious? He's been gracious to you. He's been gracious to me. What do we deserve? No more. We're probably worse in many ways than this robber. We didn't deserve not any better. We're still sinners and rebels. But God loved us. And he loved us so much that he was willing to give his only Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have eternal life. This poor robber, hated by the world, hanging on a cross, facing immediate death, suddenly is being brought by the Spirit to know the Lord Jesus Christ as God's only Son, and he believed it. Hebrews tells us that there were many who were preached to, who heard the same things as Paul and his companions and those who believed. They heard the same things, but it wasn't mixed with faith. But this man, what he heard and thought about the Holy Spirit mixed with faith, he had that wonderful gift given to him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he couldn't wait to ask him. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, please remember me. I wonder what he thought Jesus would say. He knew he was the Son of God. Isn't God gracious and merciful? Wasn't the Lord Jesus so gracious and loving and kind to this man? In many ways we could say the Lord Jesus was waiting for him to ask the question so that he could give him the glorious news. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This was the best day in this man's life ever. And he went into eternity, praising God, looking forward to the paradise promised him by this glorious Saviour. That's available to any who listening or not believers, to anyone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. The promise is, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, if you believe that he's the Son of God, and that he gave his life for your sins, repent and turn away from your sins, he will give you that wonderful promise of eternal life in glory.